Well, it's been a wonderful Skype fellowship, and thank you everyone for sharing. And you know, God is at work, God is on the throne, and we know that the scriptures say that no weapon that is fashioned against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rise up against us in judgment we shall condemn. For that's an inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness of me, saith the Lord. And that's a promise that we can claim, we can confess and declare over our life. You know, and there's many other scriptures we can, you know, declare, and promises we can take. And the enemy doesn't have no authority over the believer, only what we allow him, or what we allow him to con us out of. And, you know, the devil is speaking loudly. You know, he knows his time is short, but we have the victory. And he wants to con you with the fear, with the doubts, with these problems, lying symptoms, as I call them. If a symptom comes up, I say, like Jason might call me, I say it's a lying symptom.
Yeah.
And we remind each other, lying symptoms, you know, because we're healed. And I remember John G. Lake, he, when he was dealing with a virus and stuff like that, anything, he never caught anything. And it just died on his body. You know, we got Holy Spirit within us. You know, we, and God will work with us at the level of our faith. He will work where we are. And fear is the biggest enemy to the believer. You know, 2 Timothy 2:1-7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." And the enemy will try and tempt us to fear. So, like, you get the news and they promote this big lie all around the world. They elaborate on it and they make it a million times worse than what it actually is. And we're not denying that there's something there. But we know that our God is with us, you know. And so circumstances, situations are designed to get us to take our eyes off God and to focus on the problem. To let the enemy wants to magnify what is in the world bigger than what the promises of God are. But he can't if we stay in faith. If our trust is in God, you know, we're to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not unto our own understanding. Okay, but we acknowledge God in everything that we do. We just keep acknowledging him and we keep him first and keep our hearts willing and keep our hearts and minds ready to move with God, ready to speak for God. So I want to go to the scriptures tonight because there's some great examples we can look at. And if you take your Bibles, if you've got your Bibles with you, go to Exodus chapter 14 and in we're going to read from verse 10. I'll give you time to get there. So, really, guys, you know, we have authority. You know, we're seated at the right hand side of God in Christ Jesus. We're to use our authority in Christ, and we're to use the ability that God's given us, and we follow his lead, follow his direction. You know, and something always comes up, like when I go to India, you know, I'm going to be traveling on a plane, I'm going to be going to the airport where everybody is, but my confidence is in God. And, you know, God's got to take care of me. And he supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, he's directing my path. And he just wants to, the enemy just wants to hinder the purposes of God. The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus Christ said, "But I am come that they might have life and have it more and abundantly." That's us. He's talking about the ones that will believe, that they live this life superior in quality and quantity to the unbeliever. We don't have to fear the fear of the enemy. We don't have to come into agreement with this world's ways and systems. And God is directing us through this wilderness that we live in. And he's making a way in the wilderness and rivers to run in our deserts. And in Exodus 14, we'll read from verse 10, it says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and cried out to the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? You know, God, you brought us this far. You know, you've got to think to yourself, God has brought you this far in your life to fail you, to let you down. to let you die a horrible death, to let you die of a disease, to let your body, bodily organs to fail. No. He hasn't brought you this far. He's with us. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? It's not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And unfortunately, a lot of believers that have walked away or that have fallen away think that way. You know, it's better to be in the world. You know, I get abundance there. I don't get persecuted. I don't get talked about by other people. You know, like, there's so many excuses that people will use not to stand for the one true God in this day and time. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see them again no more forever. Just like the Ebola virus that was so much promoted. Yeah. You don't hear of it today, do you? So they just bring up another mask. Yeah. Another name. Another name which is under the name of Jesus Christ. It says, the Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. In other words, shut up and trust God. Don't confess the circumstances. Don't confess the negatives. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. So Moses told them to stand still. But what did God say? Go forward. Keep moving. Keep the focus. Keep the vision. Keep the direction. So when the pressure is on, it's so easy to draw back in fear or give in to the pressures of the world, right? So when we're caught between the Egyptians and the Red Sea, or the children of Israel were, they wanted to go back into bondage, into Egypt. And Moses told them to stand still and see God go to work. And God said, go forward. So the circumstances will get us to stand still. The circumstances will get us to go back to our old way of living. There's many believers, wonderful believers, that believe God in Bristol at one time. And because of certain things that have happened, it's got them living back in the world. You know, and it's sad to see. But we just got to keep moving with God. You know, and we got to be that example. And we can speak forth to these people. You know, rise and go. Don't stay looking at the circumstances. Don't stay hurt by the things that have hurt you, but keep moving in the vision and direction that God's got for your life. And God was showing me, you know, are we doing as individuals what God really wants us to do, or are we following someone else's vision in what God's given them to do? Because God's got a plan and a purpose for you as an individual. You are filled with the Spirit of God. You are free in Christ. We are not under a man. We are not under a woman. We're not under an organization. We're not even under a fellowship, so to say. We submit ourselves to one another in the respect and love of God. And we move together in that unity. And God's blessed tonight. And he's blessed wherever there's unity amongst the believers, wherever there's purpose, unity of heart and purpose, then we can commence forward. And God wants us to keep focused and to keep, regardless of what's going on in the circumstances, they're there, which God didn't create, but God is with you in them so that you overcome them. And it's how you respond to what comes before you is the deciding factor whether you will be victorious or whether you won't be, right? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purposes. God doesn't cause the bad things. But as we trust him, he can make that work together for our good. In other words, I'll give you Lawrence's translations of that. We will come up smelling of roses every time we trust God in situations that are difficult and hard, and it seems that there's no way out. Because my God says that he makes a way where there is no way. Yeah? He makes our crooked way straight. He causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in this world. You know, so we got to remind ourselves of who we are and what, how God sees us and the promises he's given us to claim on. And all through your challenges and your difficult times, you are growing. Okay, you are growing and you're being molded and shaped. If you think of a clay, you know, that God is the potter, we're the clay. And if you think that if clay had feelings, right? So you've got a lump of clay. If it had feelings, when you start to mold it into what you want, it's going to hurt, right? If it had feelings. And it's not that God is hurting us, because God is a good God. He's a God of light. But sometimes, you know, we're being shaped and molded into the thing that, and the person that God sees us to be and knows us to be. Okay, like Joseph, for an example. Joseph, all things work together for his good. And not just for his good, but for the whole of humanity, right? Because the world got fed and God's plan and purposes come to pass. So if you're going through a really difficult time in your emotions, in your health, in your fellowship, in your relationships, just stick there with God. Don't budge, but keep moving forward. Don't budge to the circumstances. But go to the Father and say, Father, now you alleviate me. You give me direction. I trust you. You are my God. And I know that you are a God of deliverance. I know that you are a God of light and love. And you see my good. You know my beginning from my end. And so, you know, we can focus on the things in this world and we stop doing what we should be doing. Number one, what we should be doing is having a great relationship with our Heavenly Father. Number two, being a blessing to the people around us. And number three, to preach forth the gospel of Christ, to speak his word boldly. In 2 Corinthians, if you go there, it says in chapter 5, verse 18 to 20, and all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given unto us the what? The ministry of reconciliation, to join back that which is broken. If there's broken relationships within the body of Christ, God can work in you. If you have a willing heart that's listening to you, where there's a broken relationship, we should be looking to restore that where there's willing hearts. Okay? And as God leads us and as God inspires us in those situations, God doesn't want division. He's not the God of division. Okay, but even that we don't focus on, but we're to be led with by God. And where the opportunities come up to restore, we should restore, we should be loving, we should be kind, we should encourage people to go to God, we should encourage people to trust God in these situations. It's just so wonderful, like when we got that mind of Christ on, when we understand God's heart, that he's so good. And that he needs our cooperation in situations so that he can go to work. And it says in, it carries on, it says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We got the word and ministry of reconciliations. Now then, we are ambassador for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ said, be reconciled to God. Like God, by these guys, we're reconciling people to him, just like he used Jesus Christ to reconcile people to him. Just like he was working in Christ. And Christ was obedient to the Father. He wasn't distracted by the things in this world. His focus was with God. We've got the mind of Christ. We got the Spirit of God. If we say we can do the same works that Jesus Christ done, we can do them. And we can have that same focus as him as well. It's all about perspective and heart. And not being talked out of who we are. In Acts 5, verse 20, it says, go, this is when the angel spoke to Philip and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. So as sons and daughters of God, we have been committed to work for God, to speak to others all the words of this life, not from our knowledge of the scripture, but as God works in us, because he's working in you and he's working in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I want to go to another example in Exodus. Go to Exodus if you're following in the Bible, chapter 4. Okay, Exodus chapter 4. And in verse 10 it says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, whom hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Now we know that, if you go look through the context, that, you know, God was trying to show Moses here, look, you can go, I'm with your mouth, I'll give you what you need to say. And then, so in the end, what happened? You know, Moses would speak all the things to Aaron, and Aaron would speak. But see, God is with our mouth. God will give us the fitly spoken words that need to be spoken in due season, in that time that we're in. See, Moses was a meek man, and he listened to God also. And he was willing to go forth with God. And God was working with Moses, alright? Even though Moses said he couldn't speak, but God allowed Moses to speak to Aaron, and then Aaron to the people. So from God's point of view, the fact that Moses was slow of speech and not eloquent, it had nothing to do with his ability to go and speak God's word. Moses had all he needed. So a willing heart and to speak the word. So it doesn't matter your ability. You know, I'm not clever enough, I don't know enough scripture. God is with you. And you don't have to take so many classes or understand so many things. If God is calling you and he says go, you go. And he's called you, right? You receive the Spirit of God. You confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. You confess Romans 10, 9 and 10. You got born again. You're called, baby. And you have a job. And you need to find out what God wants you to do as an individual. And he'll put you together with people collectively. But you are an individual that God can work in powerfully and mightily in your spirit influence, where he can talk to your heart, where he can give you fitly spoken words to minister to the heart of people. All you need to do is be willing to open your mouth. See, we do a lot of inreach, and God wants us to do a lot of outreach. Why? Because there's people there that are sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. Now, we're blessed because someone spoke to us. Someone gave us the words of life so that we could respond. And now, we just need to be bold to declare to others. Our desire and pleasure is to reach out to others. My heart is to speak forth to people where God shows me to speak forth. And I do that very boldly and confidently with God. And I don't try and get people to come to my fellowship. That's one. I make it available, but I don't say you need to come here. Okay, I work with the person in a relationship. Even new people, like I might be out, and then I build up a relationship with them. They know fellowship's available, but I don't make that emphasis, because the ones that really want to know, they'll ask you, just like I asked when I got spoken to, just like I seeked. And the people that I know, they run after God once that word was delivered to him. Not everyone's like that. But God will show you each individual as you go. But God wants you to go and speak. He wants you to listen to his voice. And when he tells you to open your mouth, he wants you to open it. You know, because we don't want to preach to the converted all our life. We need the fellowship like we got now. This is fellowship is designed to encourage and inspire people to move with God and to be led by the Spirit of God, and to, you know, use your ministry and word of reconciliation, and to go out, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. You know, to use your authority that you've been given. And you begin. You need to begin. And as you begin, you'll start to see more results after results after results. Right? But let's carry on. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 9. And it says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, separated thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said, Oh yeah, I forgot about that." No, he didn't. He said, "But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." See, God sends us. That's what ambassadors are, right? Sent ones. Apostles are sent ones. We are sent ones. Okay? And then we're to speak forth what he puts in our heart at that time to speak. And it says, "Be not afraid of their faces." Sometimes, oh, I don't want to speak there. You know, they might laugh at me and stuff like this, you know. "Be not afraid of their faces, wherever you are, whoever it is. For I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." You know, since I've been born again, and since I've been growing and walking God, I've got so confident I speak to anyone. And a lot of them, God leads me to these rough ones, you know, gangster type people, you know, in our day and time, that type of mindset. And also people, you know, that you've got good jobs and good background. But mainly, I find myself speaking to people from tough backgrounds. And, you know, and just one look from them, it frightens you, you know. But God hasn't given us fear, and really all fear has disappeared from my life. From whoever's in front of me. You know, I used to be in awe of other leaders. And I used to be afraid to speak case I said the wrong thing. Case I didn't, quote unquote, rightly defied the word. But see, that puts people in fear too. But I speak what God puts in my heart. And let the people work it out. You work it out with God. You go to the scriptures. You work it for yourself. So God just wants us to be bold. And he wants us not to be afraid of the world. He doesn't want us to be afraid of people. And he doesn't just want us to focus on ourselves either. But he wants us to use the ability to bring deliverance to others. So just as with Moses, Jeremiah did not feel adequate to speak for God. But God knew him from before he was born. Okay, and God knew that this guy, Jeremiah, had a willing heart to go. And that when he did, he would speak forth God's word. And God knows the same of you. But maybe, you know, there might be areas where you're a bit fearful to open your mouth. Or you might be hesitant, or you might think to yourself, well, I've done this before and no one really responds, so what's the point? Okay, but God really wants you to continue to be bold wherever you are. And wherever God shows you to open your mouth, then really be bold in speaking that. I want to go to another record in Jeremiah, same Jeremiah. And this is from another translation. It says in verse 7, Jeremiah 20, and in verse 7 we read from. It says, "O Lord, thou hast comforted me, and I am comforted. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I have become a laughingstock daily, and everyone mocks me. For all the time when I spoke and cried out, I spoke against the extortioners and against the robbers. But the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word became in my heart like a burning fire, kindling in my bones, and I was sought to be patient, and I could not endure it. So there was Jeremiah. He was having, people were just mocking this guy, you know, hating on him, making fun of him, and he thought, I'm not going to speak God's word anymore. And I've been in that situation before myself many years ago, and I thought the same. But because of your love for God and his word in your heart, you've got to speak. You know, you've got to speak. And sometimes we can clam up and not speak because, oh, I've been doing this for years and I know people's responses. God doesn't want us to look at any circumstances, because he's working with us situation by situation, person by person. So when Jeremiah spoke God's word, the people laughed and mocked him daily. So he said, I'm not speaking God's word anymore. But the word of God burned in his heart. It was like a fire inside, okay? He tried not to speak, but he just couldn't stand not speaking, all right? He had to let it out. And, you know, we're to receive the word with meekness, retain it with conviction, and what? Release it with boldness. Okay, so the kind of love for God and his word and the kind of willingness to go forth is what made Jeremiah the great prophet he was. And God will show you great things out of his word and will work in you and will be intimate with you as you're intimate with him. And he'll give you the words that you need to speak. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. So these are some records you can go and you can read them in their context as well. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll or scroll, the word, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll, the word. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll, or the word, that I give thee. Then did I eat it. See, it was God giving him the word, what to say. And it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. God wants you to go, stand, and speak. And the enemy doesn't want you to go, stand, and speak. He wants you to focus on problems, situation, lack, illnesses, divisions, and the things that are going on in this world. We got to be light-minded, we got to be single-minded, we got to be focused with God, and we don't pay attention to what the world is trying to shout at us, what the enemy is trying to shout at us through the systems of this world. You know, pay that coronavirus no attention. It is under your feet. You know, persecution is under your feet. You might go through a few things for standing up for God, but God will deliver you. God will make you coming up smelling of roses. And God wants us to be focused. He wants us to demonstrate his power. And he wants us to be bold and not to shrink back in fear, because he hasn't given us a spirit of fear. So we are mighty sons of God with power, with authority. And, you know, this kind of come to my mind because going to India on Wednesday just brought back many memories for me when I began there. And I can remember I was running fellowships way before. And, you know, we see the odd healing here and there. And we would have fellowship every week. We would do classes. We would do teachings. And it was just like, it was great at the time for what we understood at the time. But God shows more. And we should be growing in that more. And it wasn't until I really desired for a long time to really, I never seen the healings like I seen it in the Gospels or in the book of Acts. And I said, God, I want to see healings. I want to see your power manifested. And you need to send someone in my life so I can learn this. I prayed this for 10 years. Jason's my witness because he was with me when we used to pray every day, when he used to come window clean with me, didn't we, Jason? And we'd drive miles out into the countryside. And every day there was no one around. We didn't know what, we didn't know people in the US. We didn't know people outside of Bristol. And we desired for open doors. And I wanted a word from God. I got that word from God when I met Sangha.
And then I got that same word again a few years later from another woman from the USA who didn't know what was said before. So I know that I'm on course for what God wants me to do. And when I first went to India, you know, I seen these great healings, these people being delivered, these people being set free from devil spirits, from sicknesses, from diseases. And I knew that God is not just the God of India, but he's the God of the UK. And I come back and minister to someone who had throat cancer and they got healed. I said, God, you are not just the God of India. You are the God of the UK and the world. I want to see the same healings here in Bristol that I've seen in India. And I've seen them. And so it's available. It's just that we allow the things to come in to dampen that. What God wants us to understand, we allow doctrine. Well, this is wrong doctrine. This is not right because we don't. We haven't worked it ourselves, or we've been so trained in a way to think, and it can become a tradition to us. So when I started to see these things and started to prove these things, then I started to see the healings in France, in Spain, in Portugal, in Germany, in Norway, and Finland. Many people got healed. But after a while of this how to heal the sick and cast out devil class, people just take it like any other class then. And I'm thinking, hold on a minute, people were moving powerfully and there was consistent testimonies going on. What called it down? Was it because someone said something wrong, or we took it wrong and we didn't pursue to find out what that person might have said or other people might have said, or maybe someone exaggerated on what someone had said? And so these things, like over these last years, I mean 2017 was the last time I went to India, and really I haven't been there since, and I've had a lot of prayers answered, a lot of soul seeking in my heart, a lot of thinking and praying about things, and God teaching me things, reteaching me things. And really, we're so free in Christ, guys. Okay, and God, if your heart is set for God, you don't have to worry about who's wrong, who's right. Keep doing what God's showing you to do. You'll know if you're wrong or you're right. That's what you want to be concerned with, not if somebody else is wrong or right. Where am I? Where is my stand with God? Am I right before the Father? Is my perspective right? Why am I getting the same results? What am I doing that, you know, that's making me get these non-productive results? What do I need to change? These type of prayers and questions I had, I took to God, and he's answered every single one very clearly. And so, guys, I encourage you, don't get stuck in traditions. Don't be swayed by what anyone says to you, but you go to God, allow him to show you, prove the word. And you can only prove that word when you do it, because then you'll get the fruit from what you're doing. And if you're not liking the results you're seeing, or you think you should be getting more, then it may be there might be a mind switch you need to change. And you can only get that from the Father and going to him, allowing him to open up his scriptures to you, being humble to what other people are saying, where they're being successful and you're not. And, you know, like if I want to be successful in an area, I'm not going to go to someone that's a failure in that area, if you see what I'm saying. So going to India, for me, I know these guys are producing fruit daily. There is signs, miracles and wonders. And I know that they love God, and I know that they also love Jesus Christ, and I know that they use the name of Jesus Christ. I've been there before, and I'm looking forward to going again, to seeing how the things are done, how they're doing it, to be reminded, not that they're better than me or anything like that, but the point is, they're getting results, and it's consistent basis. And so I want to see that in Bristol, and I want to see it in London, and in Swindon, and in Oxford, and in the whole of the UK, and in all of Europe, and the continents of Europe, and the world. You know, this is God's desire that all men be saved. And God's calling card is his power, is his authority, is his deliverance. So that's what I want to share with
you. I find shelter from life's storms. There is nothing I have to fear, for you keep me no matter the seasons of life. There is rest when I come to you, because you are my mighty God, who always see me through. Whenever I'm alone, when nobody shows that they care, when the going gets really tough, and it seems that I'm going nowhere, when all hopes just seems to be gone, and I feel that I can carry on, I remember that you are there. You are my shelter from life's storms. Father, I thank you, because you love me so. Made me precious in your sight, saved and made me completely whole. You have covered me with your wings, and you have showered me with your light. You have filled me with Holy Spirit, seated me up from life's storms. There is nothing I have to fear. You keep me safe and warm, no matter the season of life. There is rest when I come to you, because you are my mighty God. You are my shelter. You are my shelter.